Today's topic was suggested by Shalom Katz. Thank you. This is your topic. Any other further topics, questions, suggestions? I'm open. Feel free to call me, send them in, email me. I've got a couple more lined up for other suggestions, but feel free, anything related to the working Jew, whether it be hashkafic questions, halacha questions, I'm happy to try and accommodate to address the different concerns. So before we begin, I just want to start with a very nice short O of Yisrael on yesterday's parsha relating to the topics that we've been discussing of working. And he writes a very short piece, it's not in front of you. He says, it says in the pasuk Vayishka b'makom ahu that Yaakov Avinu, he slept in that place. Vayikatz Yaakov b'shnaso, and then he woke up. So he writes that Yesh Lomar ki osan yudal shanim, those 14 years shehayam nitma mebeis hamedrash, when Yaakov Avinu was learning for 14 years in the Beis Medrash, Hashem ve'ever lo shachav Yaakov. The Chazal tells he didn't sleep at all. Rak haya lomed va'avad es Hashem yisbarach v'limudo. He just learned all day. Somehow he didn't sleep. Aval b'sheina lo haya yodea she'efshar la'avod es Hashem yisbarach. He didn't know that while a person sleeps, that's also an avoda. There's a way to serve Hashem while you're sleeping. He had no idea anything about this because all he did was learn all day. Ukashir ba el makom ahu va'yishkav va'yachalom. He went to sleep in that place. He had a dream. Azra Yaakov Avinu saw Asher b'sheina gam ken yichalos la'avod es Hashem yisbarach. While you sleep, you can also serve Hashem. Vizel, that's what it means. Vayikatz Yaakov b'shnaso. He woke up from his slumber. Vayomer achen yesh Hashem b'makom hazeh, which means roeh anochei see today. Sheyesh Hashem gam kin b'sheina. The person sleeps. There's also a way to serve Hashem. V'yicholin la'avod es avodas hakodesh b'sheina. And it says in the pasuk, "V'al nochi liyadati." I was unaware of this. So this Ov Yisrael, how it connects is because we're talking about right now how in everything gashmis, whether it be sleeping, eating, working, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was there. And we don't know this. No one taught us this when we grew up, and we're trying to figure out how that works exactly. But this message that Yaakov Avinu was able to appreciate after he left 14 years of learning yeshiva. So guys spend time learning yeshivas, and then they go to work. They feel like there's no way to serve Hashem anymore. But the idea is, just like Yaakov Avinu realized what, when you sleep, you could serve Hashem, so also we're learning you could serve Hashem while you eat, while you drink, and while you work. So at the end, I'll come back to a very nice Torah from Rabbi Nachman, which also brings this all together. But let's address the question at hand, which again was suggested by Shalom. How does one deal with going to non-kosher restaurants for business meetings? Is that permissible or not? Is it recommended? Is it discouraged? And this, of course, is a very common occurrence. Just last night, I got a call from someone. He's going to a conference, and he just found out he has to go to a non-kosher restaurant for part of the conference. Is he allowed to go there or can he not? So the question really depends on understanding Maris Ayin. Maris Ayin is the question of seeing someone doing something that looks like it's usher, but it's not, but it appears as if they're doing something usher. So that is called Maris Ayin. So let's look. The many examples given throughout Shas. Let's just focus on one. The Gemara in Shabbos, number one here. The Mishnah in Shabbos, Daf Kuf Mem Vav Amud Beis, which introduces the concerns of Maris Ayin. So the Mishnah begins. We can really skip the first line. We really should have started with the second line, where it says, Mishnah Nashu Kalev B'derech B'mayim. A person was walking on Shabbos, and somehow his clothing got wet. So the halacha is mehalich ben ve'inu choshesh. He could walk, even though his clothing is dripping and he's in theory carrying water with him, and it might be a violation of hotzah. The halacha is we're not concerned because he's not carrying it in a normal way. Fine. Higiu l'chatzar chitzona. He gets to his courtyard. He could take off his clothing that are drenched and shotchem becham and let them now dry off in the sun. Ah, you can't do that. It looks like he laundered on Shabbos. You can't launder and shower. I can't put my clothing in a wash them and use soap. And that's libun, that's kivus, that's also to do on Shabbos. But yet, so the halacha is I could let them dry in the sun. That's no problem of drying in the sun. That's fine, midiraisa. Aval lo keneged am, but I can't put it in a way where people walking by could see me hanging wet clothing. Because if they see wet clothing hanging from my clothesline, they're going to say, wait a second, that guy Reuven probably washed the clothing today on Shabbos, and now he's drying it, that's usher. So that's Maris Ayin. So if he puts them in a way where it's just in the sun, where no one could see, it's blocked off, that's permitted. But if it's the view of the people walking by, that would be usher because of Maris Ayin. So that's the Mishnah's introduction of Maris Ayin. Now the Gemara says, the next paragraph here in the first source still, Mishnah Nashu V'chulu, Amar Yehuda Marav, Kol Makom She'asu Chachamim, B'pnei Maris Ayin, wherever there's a prohibition of Maris Ayin, Afilu B'chadre Chadarim Aser. Even if it's in the privacy of your own home, it's Aser. So the Gemara says, not only in public, but even in my own house where no one could see me, where there are no windows, no doors, I still can't do anything that appears like Maris Ayin. So Gemara says, but our Mishnah here in Shabbos says you can. Our Mishnah says, Shotchin Bechama Balo Kineged Am. You can do it Bechad Chadarim. I just can't hang the wet clothing where people could see. And the Gemara says it's a Tanai. It's a Machlokis Tanayim. Whether or not when they asked Maris Ayin, was it only Aser when people could see? Or is it even Aser Bechad Chadarim in the privacy of my own home where no one could see? So how do we paskin? So before we look how to paskin, it's just important to know that there's a machlokis. Why is Maris Ayin Aser? Just a general background. Either Maris Ayin is Aser because, and if I do something that looks Aser, I'm hanging in the wet clothing, people are going to be choshing me. They suspect me for doing something wrong. It looks bad about myself. Or, by me hanging up, they're going to say, oh, it's probably mutter to do laundry on Shabbos, and they're going to learn incorrectly that that's allowed. So if I, let's say, walk into a restaurant that's not kosher, walk into McDonald's, they might either say, oh, Reuven is eating on kosher, or they might say, oh, McDonald's is probably kosher, I'll go to McDonald's. So either because it's a chashad about the guy, or it's about what it might lead to, Shema Yilman, maybe he's going to learn from my action. That's the general machlokas.
On the chashad side, why isn't there a Danakav's chus?
Danakav's chus only goes so far. If a guy does something that's so blatantly, at least appearing to be usher, then you can't. A guy, let's say, murders someone. There's no Danakav's chus there. So now you have to move. No, it's not a murder, but it looks like the guy murdered someone. So how far do you have to go away? So we draw a line somewhere. So they felt already when you just do something that looks, it's also, that's already b'chashad. But if a guy's walking, you know, into a mall and there's a whole food court, half of them are kosher, half of them are not kosher. So I'm not going to assume he's going to McDonald's. I'm assuming he's going to the kosher one. But once it's, there's such a small possibility of him doing something mutter, so that chashad already is present. So
that's a big question.
Exactly. So let's explain that. So now we understand why Maris Ayin is usher when someone observes me doing something, but why would it be usher in my own home? So there are three shitas why it's usher, even b'chadir chadarim. One is that, I don't think it's in front of you, but there's a Ran in Gemara in the Maseches Beitza. He was concerned that if I start, let's say, hanging wet clothing in my house, then maybe I'll also start hanging it outside in front of the public. So it was just nothing really wrong in its own right doing it, b'chadir chadarim. But if I'm comfortable doing it here, I might be comfortable doing it outside as well. So they just were goes there, even in those cases. The other concern is, how do I know no one's watching me? You know, there are video cameras everywhere. Some guy's looking in my window. I think no one's watching me. I think my window's closed. I thought my shades are closed, but maybe not. Maybe someone will actually see me doing it. So therefore, they said, be very, very careful, even b'chadir chadarim. And the third explanation we'll see in the Mishnah Berurah in just a moment, the lo plug. Lo plug means they didn't want to distinguish. Once you start saying, here is mutter, there it's aser, it gets confusing. They said across the board, no matter where you are, Maris Ayin is aser. So even if I'm going to be, who knows where, in some non-kosher restaurant where there are no Jews around, I know for sure there are no Jews around, that's chadir chadarim. It's still aser. Hanging my wet clothing in my bathroom on Shabbos, that's still aser, because they just didn't want to make any distinctions. It gets very, very confusing. So these are the few different reasons why it's aser even b'chadrei chadarim. Now how do we paskin? If you take a look at the Shulchan Aruch, this is number 2. Shulchan Aruch writes, Misha Nashu Kela B'mayim, a person whose clothing got wet on Shabbos, Holich Behem, he's allowed to walk without any concern. Veino Choshesh Shema Yavol Lidei Shechita, we're not concerned he might squeeze and wring out the clothing. V'lo Yishatcham L'Nagvam, but he shouldn't hang them to dry. Mipnei Maris Ayim, Shelo Yichashdehu, she gives some b'shabbos, because mechaber focuses on the chashad. Your neighbor might think, oh, Reuven is probably washing clothing on Shabbos. V'afilu b'chadir chadarim she'ein sham ro'om et aser. Even if no one sees you, Maris Ayin is aser. Okay, So now, bring it back to our case of a restaurant. A guy walks into a restaurant. It seems that it should be usher, right? Even if no one's around, it should be usher.
Just a follow-up to this question. I'm sorry. Is it one or the other? Either it's marasayim, or like you have to give the benefit of the doubt, or can they overlap? In the sense of walking into the non-kosher restaurant, that guy's 100% right in thinking that he's going to eat non-kosher. How come they both can't be wrong? In that sense, like, is there like just a line of, if you see someone murdered, you can't give him that benefit of the doubt? Right. Non-kosher restaurant's a gray area. There's a lot of, you know,
yeah, going
to the bathroom.
Yeah, so Dalat is a different question. It's related, of course. It's one of the Mahalchim here. If you take a look at the Rambam Pesh Mishnayos on that mission of us, he describes to what extent does one have to go down the Kavshchus. So it's a different topic, something else to be concerned with, but you're right, we have to define it, but for our terms, it's enough. Going into a non-kosher restaurant, seemingly, at least this point, at this stage of the shir, it would be a problem of chashad. But we'll develop this further.
But the guy that sees someone go in, it's okay for him to say, he's done in a bear.
You're saying what his perspective should be.
Right.
So we don't know. So in mitzad, the person the roe, maybe he should be down the kavshchus. But mitzad, you put the guy in a situation where he has to be down the kavshchus. That's not the proper thing. It's a fair point. Okay, so let's take a look in the Mishnah Berurah. The Mishnah Berurah writes in number 3. Bechad echadar, it's usur even in the privacy of one's own home. Anything that's maris iron is usur even if no one's around. Hatam. The reason is delo chalku chachamim b'takonasim. They didn't want to be distinguishing between different places. In public it's aser, in private it's mutter. They just said across the board, anything that's defined as maris ayin is aser no matter when, no matter where.
That's low plug,
exactly. Kasu atosus v'arush, writes the Mishnah Berurah. Dafka, this is only true, however, chad echadarm is only a problem b'makom sheyesh chashash sheyechashdu harom she'as aser iser deraisa. When it comes to an Isser deraisa, so then it was such a severe Isser to start with, they asked even Bechad Echadar. So the example of washing, laundering on Shabbos is a Melacha deraisa. So they extended an Isser even Bechad Echadar. Mashenkin, Mishnah Berurah says, if it's an Isser midirabanan, that let's say, we'll go a little bit greater detail in just a moment, but let's say eating basa v'chalav is deraisa. Oaf and chalav, chicken, or poultry with chalav is only an iser midirabanan. So let's say you have a situation, we'll see, based on the Ramah, that I have almond milk or coconut milk. So coconut milk isn't milk. I'm allowed to have that with meat and chicken. That's completely fine. But the Ramah writes that because of Maris Ayin, you should leave out the coconuts on the table when you're having the chicken dipping in the milk and the meat dipping in the milk. So milk and meat is deraisa, chicken and milk is only derabana. So what the Mishnah Berurah writes is that distinction of deraisa iser versus derabana iser, chad echadarm only extended itself by an iser deraisa, such as meat and milk, such as laundering on Shabbos. When the initial iser is only an iser midirabanan, that they did not aser in chad echadarm. That's mutter in chad echadarm. So that's an important distinction. Deraisa versus derabana, chad echadarm. Now, how does it relate to our discussion? So I just mentioned before the question of leaving out the coconuts when you're having milk with chicken or with meat. So a member of Sablovsky said, when I learned Basar Chalav with him, he pointed out that when they created non-dairy cream or non-dairy ice cream, so you go to a fleishig restaurant, the rule used to be that you have to leave out the package on the table, so no one should be choshesh you that you're eating Basar Chalav together. Nowadays, that doesn't exist. Everyone knows, everyone's aware that there's such a thing as non-dairy ice cream. So you have to put certain things on the table to make sure there's no Maris Ayin issues. So if you take a look at number 4, this chilik between deraisas and derabanans have a very important place in halacha with regards to Maris Ayin. Not only if it's aser b'chad echadarm, but also whether you should really be concerned of telling people about a Maris Ayin. What do I mean? Take a look inside pre-chadash number 4. Prichadash writes, "V'lo damri l'dam dagim." We know that issa deraisa, you can't eat blood, right? The blood of a behemoth is aser to eat. Now, blood of a fish is actually allowed. Now, I don't know who would want to do that, but it's allowed. So, let's say a person wants to have blood fish or fish blood. So, how do you know you're watching me drink blood? So, you're me choshing me for drinking blood of an animal. So, how do I prevent you from thinking that? So the Gemara says, if you leave out some of the scales on the table, or maybe even the blood, so you know it's fish blood, it's not cow blood. So that's how you prevent marasayim, by showing something that it's not a chashad anymore. So what about bas b'chalav? So the Rama says that if it's having meat dipped in my coconut milk, so it's a deraisa, meat and milk, I need to leave out the coconuts, I need to leave out the non-dairy creamer box. But if it's a chicken in coconut milk, there's no deraisa of chicken with milk, it's awesome at their bottom, but not deraisa. There I don't have to leave out any coconuts, because, okay, you're choshem, they're rabbanan, bottom, not the biggest deal in the world, I don't have to prove anything to you. That's the discussion going back and forth in the post. So look at the last few lines of the Pichada. She writes a very, very key point. In the bold, V'li nira, it appears to me as follows. Iker kedivrei ha'agah, the Ramah lahakel, to be lenient, that you don't have to leave out the coconuts on the table, or the almonds on the table, or the non-dairy creamy box on the table. Why? The af masha aser rashba, which the Rashba says, aser levasha basar b'chav isha, mipay maris ayin, chiddush. The whole idea of, he says, when you're cooking, let's say, nursing milk, chalav isha, milk from a woman, is not really chalav for halachic standards. You midaraisa, you could have that with basar. But because it's confusing, Maris Ayin, the Rashba says you shouldn't do it. So the Prichada says that's a chiddush. To create a Maris Ayin, delo losif ale she'ein lanu ligzor v'leser midatenu mipnei Maris Ayin. We don't add on new gzeres that we don't know exist, unless zulasi b'meshin is bar b'talman. We can't just go around asking Maris Ayin because of this concern or that concern. The Gemara gave us a list of examples of Maris Ayin. One of them is laying out wet clothing on Shabbos. But Maris Ayin of coconut milk, the Maris Ayin of different things that are not mentioned in the Gemara, that's a chiddush, and we don't add on gzeres. Prichada says, whatever was Chasimus HaTalmud, whatever the Gemara decided was Maris Ayin, that's it, and we can't add any further. So that being said right now, what would come out is that, if we assume like this Prichadash, that going into restaurants wasn't a concern back then, no one had business meetings in restaurants, so you shouldn't ask for business meetings in Maris, in non-kosher restaurants, because it's Maris Ayin, and Ayin goes in Gzeres Chadashes, we don't make new Gzeres. That's a Prichadash's Chiddush. So, do we assume like this Prichadash or not? So there's a fascinating discussion in the Rav Avadia Yosef talking about erasing a shir that's on a tape, or for now it would be a CD, or whatever sound bites you have. Could you erase that? There's, let's say, a Shem Hashem. A guy says, Baruch Atah Hashem, he really says Shem Hashem. Is there a violation to erase that from a tape or a video? So that's a conversation he was having in this tshuva. And he says, of course we know there's an issa deraisa of an actual Shem Hashem on a piece of paper. That's of course aser to erase. So he says, what about if it's on a tape, on a video, or on a CD, or other sound bites? He says, as you're all assuming, you're all saying, of course it's not aser to do, we know it's not allowed, but he goes to the tshuva and he explains, because it wasn't written before him, so it's obvious to us. But at his point, it wasn't as obvious, so he had to write in a tshuva. So Rav Avadia Yosef writes that since the sound, the Shem Hashem, isn't recognizable to anyone, you look at a tape, you look at a CD, you can't see anything. So only through the way the system works, you press the button and play, so then you're able to hear the song, you hear the Shem Hashem. Therefore, he says, that's not called an Isser Mechika. Even though there's Shem Hashem being mentioned, that's not Mechika. Okay, that's what we all assumed. But then he quotes a tshuva from Rav Moshe, and this is a fascinating tshuva. Rav Moshe writes also, it's mutter to erase the tapes. Mipnei she'ein sham tsuras osios klal. There are no letters. There are no words here. There's nothing to aser. But the Rav Moshe concludes his tshuva. Shemikol makom lemaisa shema yesh lahachmir bazeh mishum shenira kimochek es Hashem. Rav Moshe thinks it appears like you're erasing Hashem. So I see that a guy has a tape of a shir. And I see that he destroys it, he throws it into the garbage. So it looks to me, I don't know the halacha, it looks to me like that guy is erasing Hashem's name. I just don't know any better. So Moshe felt it's inappropriate to do it because of Maris Ayin. And not only that, because since erasing Hashem's name is an Issa Deraisa, it's also going to be also even Bechati Chadarim to erase a tape or a video. So that's where Moshe writes. So Rav Avadia's response back is, that no, we have the Pri Chadash. We don't make new gzeres of Maros Ayin. Tapes with Hashem's name on it never existed before. So he says, we embrace the Shita of the Pri Chadash, and therefore, there is no Chashash at all of erasing a name. So there's a completely different context, but we do see Rabbi Avadia does hold of this Pri Chadash, that we don't make new gzeres, we don't make new Maros Ayin gzeres. So look at Rav Moshe number 5, the last Mar Machum on the page here. Rav Moshe was addressing the question, but slightly different than the question that we're trying to tackle right now. Rav Moshe says, this is found in Or HaChaim Chelek Beisim in Mem, U'bedavar im mutter lechol b'restaurant, restaurants. He's very good at writing the Hebrew letters in English. So the matter of eating in a restaurant, shemachinim sham rak machali chalaf. So his question was slightly different. You go into a dairy restaurant. Remember, people say, oh, dairy restaurants are okay. Non-kosher dairy restaurants are fine. There's no meat. There's no treif. It's fine there. So that was the world that Rav Moshe was trying to deal with. So they actually thought dairy was okay. Aval heim shel anashim mechalei Shabbos. They're owned by Jews even, but they're not religious. So Rav Moshe firstly points out that there are a number of concerns in a dairy restaurant if it is a hashgacha, which are what? Af sham efshir lios kama machalos asuros kedagim tamem. They can be non-kosher fish. That's still dairy. And gama shuman shemetagnim hem, the oil. What type of oil are they using? It could be using pig fat. Efshir sheim mibehemas asuros v'nevelos. Begam gvinos asuros. Also asur, the gvina might be asur. So even the dairy could be asur if it's made from non-kosher animals. The non-Jews are cooking them. So he first just points out that it's not so clear, it's very clear actually, that dairy restaurants are problematic. Don't think that they're fine just because there's no meat. That's one. Number two is, now granted that we have that usher to eat in such a restaurant, but what about entering into such a restaurant? Lachain, af likanesh lasham le'echel dvarm hayudum, she'ein b'hem shum chashash isser. You want to go buy an apple. Right, as long as the apple isn't from Eretz Yisrael, you're fine. You want to buy an orange, a banana that's completely closed, it hasn't been cut with a knife, you know for sure it's kosher. So, or maybe something that's packaged, ready with a, you know, a kosher symbol on it. So you go inside just to buy things that you know are for sure kosher. So he says, "Af the kanes l'sham lechol dvarim shehadum shein behem shum chashash yisr yesh le'eser mipnei maris ayin v'chashad." Maris Ayin, which he understands to mean others might think it's permitted also, that must be a kosher restaurant. And also, the guy's going to be choshed you for doing something else. Ach, so he says one shouldn't go in. But then he draws back a little bit and says, Achim hurra b'yosi, you're really hungry. You're in the middle of who knows where. Midwest, you're on a business trip and there's no kosher restaurants. All there is a non-kosher restaurant. But you know they have fruit to buy, let's say. Again, I'm not talking not cut fruit. I don't want to discuss today what you could buy. Maybe next week we could discuss that. But just going in to buy something that every L'chul Yom agrees is mutter. Packaged foods that have a hashkacha or fruits that are completely whole. So he says, if a person's so hungry, imirav b'yoser shemitzar tuva, he's so much in pain. Vein cha mokum acher lechel, is nowhere else to go, no other kosher restaurant. So then Rav Moshe says, in that particular case, yachal likanish l'sham, you can enter into such a restaurant, lechal dvarim hayudum l'mutarim, to eat that which everyone knows is mutter. Aval, tzarech shehe b'tzina, you have to be as private as possible. Why? D'bemokam tzara d'pseida, when a person's in pain or there's a loss, lo gozru rabbanan rabban to make a gzera, and since Maros Ayin is a gzera in the first place, the guy is in such pain, he's starving, nothing to eat, so you could go in, but do a b'tzina. So what does b'tzina mean? Most likely to put on a hat, try not to look too Jewish, and v'hainu shelo ye mebuchus miat makiro, and make sure no one outside knows who you are. You know, you go with a bunch of guys and you go into the restaurant. So he says, d'lefnei eilan mitzam b'fnim, hare, those guys are the inside. Let's say you know some people are inside the restaurant. I don't know what they're doing there, but they didn't know. So they're inside the restaurant and they know you. And they see the Jews eating non-kosher, they say. Now inside, the guys inside the restaurant with you, they'll see Yiru Shalokech Rach Dvarim Hayudum Mutar. They know you're just getting water and an apple. So there's no chashah for those who are inside who are watching you. But the guys on the outside who just saw you go in the restaurant, Im Yesham Mibuchutz Makir, of guys who recognize you, Tzarech Lomar Lem, you have to say, Shemitzar Tuva, guys, I'm starving. I'm gonna pass out. tell them why you're going in. Then you're allowed to enter in. If you're not in such pain, you're just a little hungry. You just want a little like snack to take you over to the next meal. Then you shouldn't go in at all for no good reason. And this would be similar. A guy's got a terrible stomach ache. He needs to go to the bathroom. That would be another case of mitzvah where a guy could go in. But outside of being mitzvah, the guy needs to use the bathroom or the guy needs something to eat. He's going to pass out. Outside of that, a person should not go into a non-kosher restaurant. But now we have to bring it to our case of going to business meetings. Yeah.
And if there were three or four guys in a car, you're driving along the road and you have to go to a non-kosher restaurant, you have to like go in separately and sneak in like that? You know, there are four guys who are starving. You can't go as a group? You have to sneak?
Man, it's a good question. I don't know if you have to sneak. The four of you guys going together, so you guys should go bitsina as best as you can. If you want to avoid any fanfare, so maybe it's kedai to go one by one. It could be an interesting thought. But
so Moshe doesn't hold the
pri chadash. Moshe seems to not hold the pri chadash exactly. But Rav Asher Weiss is a tshuva. And I discussed with Rav Shechter, well, not directly, but I had sent in the Rav Shechter's question to Rav Shechter to find out what he felt on the topic. And the question is different because Rav Moshe is talking about individuals. And it was just a person was hungry. A person had to use the bathroom, let's say. But what about a business meeting? A business meeting, which could also be Hefsin Mamon, the guy who called me last night, said he needs to go today to the restaurant. He must go. He didn't have much of a choice. So what would you say if you have to go to a non-kosher restaurant? It's a client, it's your boss, it's whatever the need is. So Rav Asher Weiss in his Chelek Aleph and his Shelos Shuvos, he mentions that he was in Johannesburg, he was there, and he meeting with a number of Rabbanim. And they asked him about this question about there's apparently one restaurant, I don't know, I've never been there, but there's one restaurant there where everyone goes to have business meetings, a non-kosher restaurant. It's known that everyone goes there for business meetings. Is that allowed? Can you go there? So it's a little bit different than our cases because it's not one central area. Everyone will go to various restaurants throughout the city. But this is one central area where everyone goes to for the business meetings. It's a different question just to bring it up because it's a similar topic. There's an issue. I've discussed this a couple years ago that you can't go into a bar or a lounge or any place that's a place of drinking. And that's based on the Gemara. So I once asked Rav Shechter about going to a Yankee game. Because if you're, let's say, going to the Mets game, well, that's not a good example either. I was saying you go to watch the game, but no one goes to watch the Mets either. I don't know. But no one goes to the Yankees to watch the Yankees. People go to as business meetings. Most of the people who can afford the tickets are business clients, and they watch the game also. But, it's a place where everyone just drinks beer all the time. So I wanted to know whether or not Yankee Stadium is considered a place of, like, a lounge or it's a place that you go to watch the Yankee game, but happens to be you drink as well while you're there. How do you define such a place? So I forgot why I brought this up, though. He had thought that since people go for mostly business meetings, he felt it was more of a business place. And therefore, not so much to watch a Yankee game. And he thought maybe it would be usher to drink at the Yankee Stadium, but yesh levar, what the definition of Yankee Stadium is. But here as well, when a guy goes to a restaurant that's a central place for a business meeting, is that really a business meeting, a conference, happens to be just the food and drinks served, or is it really a restaurant, a non-kosher restaurant that happens to have business meetings along the way? So in this whole discussion, Rav Asher Weiss concludes as follows. Rav Asher Weiss says that he thinks that Maris Ayin is, like what Pri Chadash said, that you can't make new gzeiros. And he quotes a Pri Chadash that we saw together with respect to Bas Rechalav, and he quotes another Pri Chadash as well, which is Lishitaso. There's a Magen Avraham that talks about in a particular city, they asked frying matzah on Pesach. You can't have matzah braai on Pesach. Why not? Because the understanding was that once a person saw her neighbor frying matzah on Pesach, and she thought she was frying like real crumbs, bread. So she thought, oh, you're allowed to frying bread crumbs is allowed. That's what she saw her neighbor. She wasn't religious, so she was getting religious, and the religious neighbor was frying matzah, looked like she was frying bread crumbs. So they So they ostered frying any matzah in that particular city. So Pichadish responds and says, we can't make up new gzeres of Maris Ayin. That's a Maris Ayin question. You can't just make a new gzer of Maris Ayin. So Pichadish is l'shitah, so just like you can't oster frying matzah because of Maris Ayin, he also says you can't oster, coconut milk with chicken or meat because that's a new gzerah of Maris Ayin. We don't make new gzeres of Maris Ayin. Rav Asher Weiss proves further that Maris Ayin is a unique type of halacha that changes based on time and place, depending where you are, depending when it is. So he brings a beautiful raya. There's a din in Shulchan Aruch. We know midrash, so you can't wear shatnez. Right? You can't mix wool and linen together. There are certain materials, though, that look like wool, that look like linen, but are not actually wool and linen. But they appear that way. So the Shulchan Aruch writes that those materials are usher to wear mipnei maris ayin. They look like you're wearing shatnez. You can't wear them. But then the Shulchan Aruch writes, however, v'ha'idna nowadays, since everyone knows that that exists, it's mutter. I mean, even though it looks like it, we all know that's not really, not necessarily shatnez. I know there's material that looks like wool. I know there's material that looks like linen, and it could be the fake type. And therefore, it's no longer Maris Ayin. It's similar to the case of the non-dairy ice cream. When non-dairy ice cream came out initially, so it was a big chiddush. So you have to put the non-dairy creamer boxes on the table to make sure no one knows. But after whatever the time frame is, 5-10 years, everyone knows there's non-kosher, there's rather non-dairy ice cream, there's non-dairy creamer. Everyone knows, so no one's a choshed you for putting real milk in your coffee after having a steak. Everyone knows that. So Rashi Weiss proves from the Shulchan Aruch that Maris Ayin is something that changes over time. So one is we don't make new gzeras. Number two is it's something that has room to change. He gives two other examples before bringing it back to the restaurant. It used to be usher to shave one's beard because everyone assumed you use a razor. Mitzada, in the world of Panemius, is a big Indian. There's a guy who comes around the shul who like drops off these little kuntresim about shaving. Okay, every place, I open it, but I pull out a toaster rush, I get like 5 kuntresim fall out of not to shave your beard. So this Indian in Panemius and Hasidus, of course, to keep beards. We're not holding by that. But Midaraisa, you're allowed to cut your beard, of course. Mishnah Berurah talks about the Arizal used to trim his beard. But you can't use a razor. So now with electric shavers, so initially when they came out, it looked like the guy walks clean shaven, looked like he used a razor. So they said you can't have a clean shaven face because Maris Ayin. But now everyone knows the electric shavers that you could use that are not razors. So that's once it was usher, now it's mutter because Maris Ayin changes depending on what people around understand. Or wearing shaitels. So the Gemara talk about Pei Nachri is wearing a wig, a shaitel would be usher. Because it looks like the lady's walking around with her hair uncovered. It looks so real. But now everyone knows that they're shaitels. Everyone knows that they're wigs that look real, look even more real than their own hair. But everyone knows that. So no one's choshed them for not covering their hair. So these are examples of things that over time, when people understand how society works, the Maris Ayin goes away. So in light of this, Rav Asher Weiss concludes the Tshuva and says, "B'nidon didan, in our particular case, and this restaurant where is a mu'edah, so that's why it's a little bit different than our case. It's a restaurant that was singled out. It was really exclusively used. B'ikir lo'ovdim sh'chaveros ha'shochnes b'bayis. Vein makom achas she'noach le'echav. This is the only place for people to eat. Lama yichashu b'ksherim Yisrael. Shem nechlasen le'echav basar t'musos. Kasher mistama nechlasen le'echav basar shchutos." So again, I don't know the materials of this restaurant exactly. But apparently it serves kosher food and non-kosher food. And everyone went there for business meetings, it seems. So we're not going to assume the question of kosher b'ksherim. You go walk into the food court. There's a kosher restaurant and there's a non-kosher restaurant. So here's a little bit different. It's not a food court. It's a restaurant, but there's one table that has kosher food and one table you go to that has non-kosher food. Why would we assume that they're going to the non-kosher food when they have the ability to get the kosher food? And therefore, when they're going for these business meetings, there is no chashash of any chashad. Everyone goes there. Everyone knows that people have business meetings there and people go to have kosher food. And therefore, he says, Ein bo iser maris ayin. But then he does say, one has to be very, very careful. Let's say you go to a restaurant that has a bad hashkacha. I get questions all the time. Is this rabbi a good hashkacha? That guy a good hashkacha? So So sometimes the gray area should be worse. If I walk to a McDonald's, no one's choshing me for eating McDonald's. I walk into a hashgacha with a rabbi something who's not a good hashgacha. Oh, the rabbi walked in there. It's probably a good hashgacha, right?
Yeah.
So if it's an area where it's gray, when people don't know better, that's a more of a problem than when it's clearly non-kosher restaurant. So he does say you have to use some chachma where you're going. But this, again, was a very, very defined situation where there's only one restaurant in the place, one business meeting. Now you come to New York City. So you have thousands of choices to choose from. You could go to either, you know, Abigail's, or you could go to whatever non-kosher restaurant. You could go to, help me out, some names, guys. What?
Peter Luger.
I don't know what that means. What that is. That's right. Let's take it. Okay. Okay. So there, I don't know, Broadway. What are they? What? Okay, whatever. Some fancy restaurant. Tver, Prime Grill. I don't think exists anymore. So you go to either a kosher restaurant or you go to a non-kosher restaurant. So now I'm opting to go to the non-kosher restaurant. So maybe that shouldn't be the right thing to do.
Does cafes fall in this category of restaurants?
Yep.
Coffee cafes?
Yeah, any area where there'd be non-kosher food served, there would be that chashad. I didn't give the answer yet, but there should potentially be that chashad of maybe he's eating food. Or
what
maybe
if you're not eating, you're just...
The Ramosha said if you're going to the restaurant, that itself...
Use your Wi-Fi, use your computer.
So, right, so going in alone, that was the problem of our sign. But that being said, Rav Schechter pointed out that everyone knows that people... have business meetings all the time in non-kosher restaurants. This is very accepted. Everyone knows you go to Starbucks and you don't order coffee, you just use the Wi-Fi there. It's very, very understandable. Therefore, Rav Schechter says, since everyone knows that people do this, have business meetings and go to, you know, set up shop and have, you know, work on the computer there, it's completely permitted, he says, and then not a problem. Now, what you could order from different places, that's for another shir, but I just want to finish off with a Rav Nachman, to keep you guys hanging on that piece of Starbucks. Now, you can look in Star K. Star K answers all the questions about Starbucks. They tell you what you could do, what you can't do.
Does that depend, paradise on the fact that the Metzias changes and people just understand?
Exactly. Just like, you know, Shulchan Aruch said that there was once upon a time wool that looked like wool, and but now everyone knows about it. So maybe 40 years ago when it wasn't so common.
Shabbos lights.
So wait, it wasn't so common, so Shabbos lights?
The timers. Years ago, nobody had that, and it looked like you turn lights on off. Now right. Everybody knows.
It's right. So Moshe talks about that in terms of using timers on Shabbos, but anything that people understand is acceptable. Now, I would point out, though, if you have the option of not going, though, that might be better. It might be better to, if you were going to decide which restaurants, I would recommend go to the kosher restaurant. Someone asked me a few weeks ago that he's a partner in some place, and he was invited to go with a client to go to a non-kosher restaurant. Should he have to go? He could also send his non-Jewish partner. I said, if you have the option, so if there's a loss, maybe they'll send your non-Jewish partner instead of you. But if you feel like it's more important that you go, it's going to be Hefson Mamon, and they want you to be there, then you could go. There's a het there. But each case should be analyzed. But you should realize that overall, it's permitted. But use your seichel sometimes. You have a question, Yossi?
I think today people know that it's prevalent that it's possible to order kosher food in a non-kosher restaurant. And they bring it in from outside.
Right. Yeah.
So doesn't that change the visibility of seeing a person walk into a non-kosher place?
Well, we're mostly pointing out that unless you're sitting by the window and they see what you're doing, a guy walks by and sees, oh, Yossi's in that restaurant. They don't know what you're eating there. If you're next to you, so they see you open up the package. I once had that when I was working many years ago. So I went to a non-kosher restaurant. They sent a package of something. You know, open it up, like, the, you know, all the noise and aluminum foil. Like, it was so, like, mortifying.
Yeah,
so I would recommend that, just for professional reasons, when you go there, just order some water and just play it safe, say you're not hungry or something. Very weird having that plastic bag and the plastic fork and knife and, like, cutting. The knife doesn't even work half the time. So that's my just own recommendation for doing well in business. But clearly I didn't do well in business, so don't take any suggestions from me.
Rabbi, do we worry about what other Jews think, or do we worry about what Gentiles think, or both?
No, the Jews, but the Jews think, yeah.
Because if a Gentile gets the wrong person, it's not a problem?
So just a quick question. So you walk into a non-kosher restaurant for business meeting, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And you're not going to eat. But now you look like an Orthodox Jew and you walk in, so you don't have a hat. Is there a reason to take off your yarmulke?
I wouldn't think so. I would think not. Better to keep a yarmulke on. Everyone knows you go to business meetings in non-kosher restaurants, So better for you to wear the yarmulke there.
Same, but if it's a situation where people aren't going to know, and you don't have a chance to be away from your back to the window.
No, I think the given Rav Shechter's understanding is that everyone knows Jews go to non-kosher restaurants for business meetings. So once that's the case, there's no chashad at all. Unless it's an area, let's say you're forced to go to some restaurant with a bad hashkacha,
yeah.
Then maybe it's best to put a hat on or something. But each case is, and these are general guidelines, each case can be asked the specifics as they come along.
Isn't there something about, with Maris, on the topic of Marisayim, right? Isn't there an issue with cooking on Shabbos or on Yom Tov that we use this whole idea of Maris Ayin also?
Doesn't ring a bell.
Are there certain things that we can't do with your oven?
It's something called Mechzik Mevashel. It looks like cooking. Right. That's a different.
Why don't we apply the same logic there?
I'm not sure. Well, it's a different topic. I think let's talk afterwards if you want.
Because you were talking about Maris Ayin. Where else does Maris Ayin?
There are many, many other areas. It comes up. It comes up a lot. But we can talk about the Mechzik Mevashel if you want afterwards. Let me just finish this piece here of 2 minutes from Rabbi Nachman just about the general Indian of when a person goes to a non-kosher restaurant, how a person could be so uncomfortable doing this. So Rabbi Nachman writes, and this is in Torah Lamed Gimel, that Tzarech Ladas, one has to be aware, Shemelo Chalartz Kavodo, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's honor, he fills the entire world. For less Asar Panay Mine, there's no area that doesn't have HaKadosh Baruch Hu's existence. V'iyu Mimalek Kol Almin, V'soviv Kol Almin, he fills every single world, the entire world. V'afilu Misha Osik B'masa Matin Ba'akum, even those who are engaging in business with a non-Jew, L'yachol Yisnatzel, you can't like run away. And say, Lomar, Iyev Shar Lavot Hashem Yisbarach Machmas Avayos Kashmas, you can't say, I can't serve Hashem here in this business. I'm dealing with Goyim. How could I serve Hashem? You can't run away. It's not true. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is always there. Machmas Esek, Sheosik Tamid. Tamid, he says, not true. Because Chazal tell us, B'chol Dvarim, Gashmim, everything physical, U'b'chol Lashon Sa'akim, even non-Jewish, even other languages, not Hebrew languages, Yachol Limtso B'melukus. You could find Hashem even in other languages of the world, in English and in Spanish and in French. Every business you do, ki belo elokusa, without God's presence, ein lahem shim chayis v'kiyum kol. It can't exist. You can't have a business function. You can't have a language work without there being some level of godliness that's there. And he brings a couple of rayas. He says, we have, what does totafos mean? The word tefillin, totafos. So Gemara says, tat is a bekisve, a certain language, and pas is an African language. So what are those words? Why is there different languages in totafos? So he says, to tell you that b'chol l'shonos ha'akum, every language of the world, there's a yesham elokuso b'amechai oso, that there's a certain life source of HaKadosh Baruch Hu being there. And that's what he says, the Yushalmi says, that im yomer l'cha adam heichen elokecha, the guy asks you, where's Hashem? So we say, oh, he's up. He's around. The Yushalmi says, tomer lo, tell him, b'krach gadol shebiromi, the big city in Rome. That's where Hashem is. That's a strange thing. He's telling us that no matter where you are, no matter what type of big city or business you're working in, even a non-kosher restaurant, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there. It's hard for us to understand and appreciate that, but once we're in that zone, if we have the heterim that we're supposed to have, that you're allowed to go to business meetings in non-kosher restaurants, we shouldn't feel guilty. We should be careful, but at the same time, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in some way, we don't understand, in some way HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there as well. Okay, everyone have a wonderful day.